to the December 10th, 2019 morning session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. I'm Rico Bishop, and I'm from Lincoln, and I'm pleased to be joined by our Chief Judge, Frankie Moore, on my right from North Platte, and Judge Dave Arterburn from Papillion on my left. So we have six cases today. When I call your case, please come up, and I'll say the name of your case again since we're being recorded. And since we are being recorded, I want to remind you to be careful of any sensitive material that you may wish to share with us. So with that, let's go ahead and start with Franz versus Waldinger Corporation. Again, this is Franz versus Waldinger Corporation.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
I would ask that 2 minutes be reserved for rebuttal, please. May it please the Court, Caroline Westerhold on behalf of the defendants' appellants, Waldinger Corporation and EMC Insurance Company. This appeal stems from a workers' compensation claim involving an October 30th of 2002 work accident when the plaintiff reported being struck in the head by an overhead door. Approximately 6 years after the date of accident, a petition was filed on the behalf of the plaintiff in the Workers' Compensation Court in June of 2008, alleging injuries to the head, neck, mid-back, and low back. During the course of discovery as part of that claim, it was discovered that there was evidence that plaintiff was also suffering from and treating for depression that he specifically understood or believed was related to that work accident. In November of 2008, a settlement was negotiated in the workers' compensation claim. The settlement agreement terms included agreement for payment of a lump sum amount of money to resolve and close all indemnity claims, agreement that the injury sustained was to the low back, and agreement that the defendants were liable for ongoing reasonable necessary medical care specific to the low back. The terms of those settlement agreement were approved by the Workers' Compensation Court in December of 2008. Subsequently, approximately 10 years later, in October of 2018, plaintiff filed a further petition in the Workers' Compensation Court seeking benefits related again to the head, neck, and low back related to the work accident in October 2002. At that time, the appellants filed a summary judgment motion and argued that the settlement agreement barred further relitigation of issues as to the injuries that had been sustained as a result of the work accident. The trial court agreed that the settlement agreement clearly set forth the injury that had been sustained and identified that injury as being to the back. The trial court stated that if plaintiff felt there were other injuries at issue that required medical care, he should have so stated as part of that settlement.
In other words, any injury now being complained of had to stem from the low back.
Correct, Judge. He held specifically that plaintiff could proceed with the claim and seek any benefits related to the low back injury.
What evidence is there that the mental, because this is about his treatment for mental health issues. What evidence is there that he was being treated seriously for that issue at the time of the injury?
You will see as part of the testimony from the plaintiff, both offered in the form of deposition testimony and trial testimony, that he testified he had sought medical care, that he actually had dealt with suicidal ideations. You will also see as part of the supporting documents to the settlement agreement that the doctor had diagnosed at one point depression prior to the time that the settlement was reached.
And which doctor was that?
That would have been Dr. Lorenzo, I believe, noted as part of the settlement documents that depression had been diagnosed. Essentially, there is no dispute that at the time of the settlement in November of 2008, plaintiff felt he had depression that he believed was due to the accident. And you can see in the medical records, there's no dispute among the medical experts or the treating physicians that existed at the time the petition was filed and at the time the settlement was reached in this case. The issue as to treatment to the low back and any associated injuries proceeded to hearing with the trial judge. The trial judge entered that decision in May of 2019 and held that the appellants were in fact liable for treatment associated with the depression. the basis.
So Dr. Gutnick, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. That's what we're really looking at in terms of your first assigned error, that.
Well, I think the first assigned error is our argument that they were conclusively barred from seeking to add an injury as a compensable injury when that injury existed at the time of settlement, and whether the court could make that type of change to the settlement document.
But Dr. Gutnick diagnosed Mr. Franz with major depressive disorder, and then also generalized anxiety disorder. When you refer to Dr. Lorenzo and a depression diagnosis before the settlement agreement, was that major depressive disorder?
Judge, I believe she just references depression in general, but I can't state that I know with certainty, Judge, what that specific diagnosis was in those settlement documents.
Would that be a distinction that's important?
I don't believe, Judge, just looking at that specific diagnosis tells the full story. When you look at Dr. Gutnick's opinions in this case, and you look at Dr. Gutnick's reports, he talks about a condition that existed in 2002 and that had been ongoing and longstanding since prior to the time of the settlement. He talks about his understanding that the plaintiff was there because of issues with the settlement, and on page 5 of the doctor's report, he indicates that he understood the settlement in this case included entitlement to treatment for the neck only, but did not include the upper back, and that he was there because the plaintiff was pursuing litigation to get treatment for his head and upper back. Dr. Gutnick did not even understand that it was the low back that was at issue that his opinions had to tie the depression to. And so we believe in that regard, Dr. Gutnick's opinions clearly failed to meet the burden of proof in this case. This doctor didn't even understand what injury he had to tie the depression to in order to provide a legally sufficient causation opinion.
If he had opined that the depression was existent at the time of the injury, but that it was clearly exacerbated over time as a result of low back pain and all the medications he had to take for his low back pain, then do you have a problem?
I think that would have been a different scenario in terms of the ability of the court to have relied upon Dr. Gutnick's opinions. But that's not what Dr. Gutnick said in this report. Dr. Gutnick said this was a longstanding chronic condition. Dr. Gutnick talks about various aggravations that had occurred over the course of time. Nowhere in the report does Dr. Gutnick ever specifically set forth the timing or extent of the aggravations. The only aggravations he pinpoints as to any specific timing of is an aggravation that he notes over the course of the prior year that stemmed from litigation. So to the extent that there was a possible aggravation or change in the extent of the depression condition, the only opinion that Dr. Gutnick expresses that would explain such an aggravation would have been that the aggravation in the prior year related to stress from the litigation associated with the workers' compensation claim, which obviously under Nebraska law would not be a compensable basis for the depression condition. Ultimately, I think for the trial judge to have relied upon Dr. Gutnick's opinion, he had to engage in a great deal of speculation. It's our position that the level of speculation that the trial court engaged in this case exceeds what is proper. He tried to fill in blanks where the court should not have filled in blanks pursuant to the Edmondson versus IBP decision. And with that, if there's no questions, I'll reserve the remaining time.
I do have one question. How does paragraph 5, the employee understands it by entering late into the settlement, the employee, and then it goes through a number of things, but then it talks about conditions, whether now known or to become known in the future, whether physical or mental. How does that play into the...
I believe that language is relevant. It is clearly setting forth the parties' understandings and agreement that we have reached this compromised agreement to the terms. The terms to be, the injury is to the low back. If there are other injuries, known or unknown, those will not be covered under this specific settlement. Adding to that, and possibly making it irrelevant, is the fact that it was known, it wasn't even an unknown injury or condition, it was in fact a known injury, a known condition that existed at the time of settlement, and it's the exact same condition that gave rise to the subsequent litigation in 2018.
So the settlement agreement, though, left an exception open for medical treatment. And that's really what we're looking at, is the language that says medical treatment that's reasonable and necessary as a result of the low back condition.
Correct.
And so the position, at least adopted by the trial court, is this major depressive disorder is as a result of the low back condition, the pain and so forth.
Correct. What we are seeking is enforcement of that specific term reached. At the time the settlement was negotiated, there were multiple injuries at play, and the parties specifically negotiated, based upon disputed issues, what injuries were to be covered by this settlement that had been reached, and defined it very specifically.
But it doesn't say expenses only relating to treatment to the low back. It said as a result of the low back. So arguably, it could be other conditions that come about as a result of the low back injury.
I think that in terms of interpretation, that would stretch beyond what the intent of the agreement was. I believe the agreement, when you look at the first section, paragraph 2, it specifically states the injury is to the low back, and the document follows that reasonable necessary treatment entitlement ties to the injury in this case, which was very specifically identified as being the low back. You're correct, the judge in this case stretched that to include any injuries as a result of the low back.
Which is the language in the settlement agreement,
correct,
isn't it?
Assuming that the judge did not err in taking and finding that treatment stemming from the low back, whatever, whenever that may have come up, is compensable, is still our opinion that Dr. Gutnick did not provide a legally sufficient medical opinion to support the finding that the depression was in fact the result of the low back. Dr. Gutnick talks about it being related to the injury. Dr. Gutnick talks about it being related to other unrelated issues. Dr. Gutnick never anywhere in the report specifically opines that the depression is due to the low back injury. To reach that conclusion, the court had to speculate, which we think was improper.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like you to look at the facts, because facts make a difference. If you ignore certain facts, you can come to any conclusion you want. It's an old rule of physics. Number one, the law of the case. The workers' comp lump sum was not appealed. It's law of the case. And under the law of the case, it says reasonable and necessary medical treatment as a result of plaintiff's low back condition. As a result of, it doesn't say only related to. She wrote that. She's going to stand by it. She can't change her mind now.
But there has to be proof that the mental
Absolutely.
Health issues arose out of the low back injury. And
right.
So that's an issue here, too, isn't it,
it
with
is.
Regard
Absolutely
to Dr. Gutnick?
It is. Absolutely an issue. No question.
Yeah. Can we talk about Dr. Gutnick's opinion a little bit?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
He does say on page 4 of his opinion that the settlement did not include his head or his upper back, only his neck. He is now suing to get treatment for his head and upper back.
Yeah, he did say that.
He's not talking about the lower back, which is what the settlement That's, left
But
open.
Here's what he said. If you read it carefully, Exhibit 34 indicated a diagnostic impression, major depression disorder, single episode, moderate, generalized anxiety with anxiety and panic attacks. But here's what it also says. However, his current psychiatric conditions began with his 2002 injury, and as noted above, were aggravated by his termination in 2005. I think you have to look at the whole report. You just can't pick and choose. He did have an impression, because I didn't talk to him ahead of time, like most people do, and give him a report to write, like Dr. Messi. But the only thing I can tell you in this case is he relates it back to that 2002 incident. He never knew about prior treatment for a psychiatric condition, because we've provided proof that it had been cured and was not a current condition at the time.
Isn't that problematic for you, that he attributes the onset of the psychiatric issues to the time of the injury?
Well, if you read the reports, you will see, in effect, he has four discs. You will see, in effect, he does not have any problem with his head and neck. The reason why I went after the head and neck was to tie down the lump sum settlement to make it the law of the case. It ended up throwing out Dr. Messi's report. And then he changed his position totally.
Well, his statement is that the current psychiatric conditions began with this 2002 injury for which settlement was reached in all injuries except for the low back.
That's correct. The low back is the only injury that was being treated currently, according to Dr. John McClellan, an orthopedic surgeon, and according to Dr. Balter, a pain specialist.
So if his psychiatric condition, that injury existed in 2002 before the lump sum settlement, isn't it an injury which was resolved by the settlement agreement?
There was no psychiatric problem at the time. If you look...
Well, that's what Dr. Gutnick says
The psychiatric problem that he had, he was reviewing the 2008 settlement. And he did not know about the prior incident at that time. I think if you read carefully, you will see that there is... The report of Allegion Health Brentwood Clinic, Exhibit 36, showed that on September 9, 2002, prior to the October 30, 2002 incident, he had recovered from the anxiety problems and was off medication.
I don't think that's the question, though, posed. If I understand correctly, the question is, because Dr. Gutnick, your expert, says his psychiatric condition began with the 2002 injury, doesn't the settlement agreement preclude recovery for that because it was not included?
Oh, I understand what you're saying. I'm getting to that. I'm sorry. I should cover one at a time. I'm going to second base. Second base is there's further treatment. You're entitled to further treatment for it.
For the low back?
For the low back, no question. But anything that arises out of the low back, like pain, if you note carefully, the settlement of Dr. Van Norman, I call her Lorraine Van Norman, said in effect, and which is to be paid by defendant pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statute 48120. If you read 48121A, you'll see it covers pain alone. That pain is continuous. Basically, that man is a narcotics addict. He's on methadone. The only way he has a chance of surviving, believe me, is that medication to kill the pain and some shots, which he's being denied.
Let me try this a different way. Excuse me. Where in the 12-page opinion by Dr. Gutnick, where does it say that this current psychiatric condition arose from the ongoing low back pain?
He said his current psychiatric conditions began with his 2002 injury. The 2002 injury was an injury to the low back. Under the law of Supreme Court decisions, you're entitled to make any reasonable inference that's possible from that, and that would include any of the injuries that occurred at that time. There were multiple injuries. When a huge garage door comes down on your head and neck, it tends to hit your head and neck and your low back.
Is it your position then that that language you just read to us is your best language out of Dr. Gutnick's opinion?
I think it's the strongest language, and I cited it first, but I also think that it's saying it's a single episode for the current diagnostic impression is key, because the prior incident was totally cured at that time. And even if it wasn't under Nebraska law, even if it wasn't work-related, if there's aggravation, it's still compensable.
So what's the single episode you think that refers to?
He's referring back to the 2002 injury. That's what he saw. Now, I will give him credit. He went back through 17 years of records, line by line, in his report, and covered each individual segment of treatment for the depressant and other matters. He did not cover the treatment to the back because he was assigned specifically to look at the psychiatric condition. And the key here is the language of the single episode, and the key here between, is it began with this 2002 injury. I built the Kellogg's plant for Kiewit. I worked there before I went to engineering school. I know that door. That door fell on me. I'm lucky I'm alive. And I guarantee you it would have crushed a lot more than just the neck.
But so if the psychiatric condition was caused by the 2002 injury, but it wasn't included in the settlement agreement, then is the argument of the appellant correct?
I'm saying it's absolutely incorrect, because anything that arose out of what was left over, according to the judge, and what was left over was a depressive condition, was to be paid for, which would include pain under 48-121A. And basically, pain causes a psychiatric condition. I don't even think you need a psychiatrist to figure that out. If you've ever had a hip replaced, you'd understand carefully what was the problem. The pain is tremendous. They give oxy all the time for that, for 2 or 3 months sometimes.
Do you agree that there needs to be an expert opinion with regard to causation, tying the psychiatric condition to the low back injury?
I got it. In fact, I got two. One for the drug problem with Dr. Satin, the other problem with the psychiatric condition. I agree there, but I also agree that you have a right to use a little common sense as a judge and look at the totality of the picture and realize people are going to get the best they can do, but they're not all perfect. And in this particular case, he did tie it back to the totality of the incident. He can't say that the low back was 14.6% of the incident, and neither can I, and nobody can. But as long as he ties it back to the whole, that's sufficient, in my opinion. Now, from my point of view, having had a couple hips replaced, I know what pain is, and I know what depression is. It's not a lot of fun not to get sleep. It's not a lot of fun not be able to walk. He can't walk 3 blocks. Dr. McClellan says, even with surgery, he's still going to have tremendous pain. And he never got that surgery either. And that's cited in the brief specifically. 4 discs. There isn't a doctor in this state that would operate on something like that. That's very risky. So he's left total permanent. In my opinion, he probably could have been a leader at Waldinger as one of the principals. He was a good supervisor and was rising up the line. A wrecked life. That tends to cause a few problems. I thank you for your time. If you have any further questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I believe appellant's out of time. So the matter is submitted. Thank you very much, counsel.